We are talking stuffing for the rest of the hour. We're going to take your calls to fantastic chefs. The number is 800-423-8255. And before we turn to those chefs, we got Tom Keene on the line, friend of the show. Tom, hi there.
It's a pleasure to be on.
So I had to talk to you because you wrote this op-ed in the Globe this weekend, Tom, and you were dissing all food Thanksgiving, including stuffing, which you called soggy bread. I love stuffing, Tom. Why are you hating on it?
Oh, Tiziana, the whole point of stuffing was originally to help flavor a bird that's otherwise, let's face it, pretty dry and tasteless. So we load its guts with bread, herbs, and spices. And then someone got the crazy idea of actually eating this stuff. And I just remember growing up and watching the stuff being pulled out of the bird's cavity. Now, of course, we're not even supposed to put stuffing in the bird because the USDA says there's a risk of salmonella. So we have kept this tradition that was intended to make a bird taste good, and now we just have as a side dish that we cook in a pot.
Okay, so I want to play a little Greek and eggs and ham with you, because
sure.
Would you, could you, if I gave you my grandmother's stuffing, which has pork sausage and Vienna bread and garlic and butter and white onion and clove, would you, could you then enjoy stuffing, Tom?
Well, probably not. But, you know, some of this, unfortunately, it's what we grow up with, right? And, you know, at a certain point, just seeing this stuff on the platter, kind of just a mound of whatever, really left me with a bad taste in my mouth. And I have to tell you, if stuffing was really that great, we'd be having it more than once a year. And that seems to me to be the most damning case against it. I agree that there are people who like it, but I think there's probably more people who think it's best confined to one fourth Thursday every year.
All right, Tom, you have set us up beautifully with those fighting words. And listen, listeners, we're going to link to Tom's op-ed on our website at radioboston.org. Tom, happy Thanksgiving despite the turkey and stuffing. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's the best holiday of the year. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
All right, so do you agree with Tom, or do you have very different feelings about stuffing? A recipe you want to share? Maybe an expletive? No expletives on air, but a strong feeling about disliking Thanksgiving stuffing, 1-800-423-8255. Joining us now, Joanne Chang, chef and owner of Flower Bakery and co-owner of the restaurant Myers and Chang. Joanne, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I hear you're in a kitchen right now, is that right?
I am. We are in full Thanksgiving mode, making pies, making stuffing.
Outstanding.
And just having a blast.
Outstanding. So we'll welcome that ambiance. We also have chef and co-host of the television show America's Test Kitchen, Bridget Lancaster. Bridget, hello.
Hi, it's so great to be back.
It is great to have you. So either of you, tell me, do either of you agree with Tom Keene and have this feeling that it's a disgusting thing that should not be eaten? I hear the chuckling.
I have to disagree with Tom, but I disagree respectfully. I think that maybe he hasn't had a great stuffing. I view stuffing as, honestly, even though it's a savory item, it's actually more like a pastry. To me, it is a bread pudding, which is a pastry item, but we make it savory. And I think it's spectacular, especially with turkey and chutney and gravy and all the things that go along with a traditional Thanksgiving feast.
And Bridget, I heard your chuckle. It made me wonder, do you actually secretly agree?
No way. I was chuckling because all I could think of is Tom is my new challenge. I love stuffing. Where I grew up, we called it dressing because we didn't cook it inside of the bird. But no matter what you call it, I absolutely love it. One thing I will agree with, we should eat it more often.
Just full stop. Just drop the mic right there. Let's eat more stuffing. So listen, I'm going to grab our first call here. 804. This is such a blast. By the way, I just love stuffing. If I could handle the calories of the stuffing that we make in my house, we would eat it weekly. But oh my God. All right. 800-423-8255. Matt's on the line from Pembroke. Matt, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing today? I love listening to the chefs when you have them on, and I wanted to share a recipe that my father used to make in the 60s, and it's a fairly simple recipe but different. Using typical bag stuffing, which might not be the thing to do, but say a bag of Pepperidge Farm or something like that, but instead of doing butter in the water, you boil a pound of pork sausage, Italian sausage, and you keep the juices in there, and then you add the stuffing to that with celery and onion. But the key is you add one package of cooked 100% wild rice.
Interesting.
And then a bunch of slivered almonds.
Well, that sounds delicious, Matt. And Matt, and I'm glad you brought up the rice thing because A, Joanne Chang, I know you have a recipe that uses sticky rice in the stuffing. And B, this year, I know several people looking for stuffings that are gluten-free and wondering if rice is a way to do that. Amanda's on the other side of the glass in the control room raising her hand right now. So Joanne Chang, over to you.
I love that idea. I think, adding the wild rice and adding the almonds is giving some great texture to the stuffing. And yes, if you're trying to go gluten-free, you could do an entirely rice stuffing. We make a sticky rice stuffing for the Thanksgiving holidays that uses glutinous rice. So when you cook it, it gets a little bit starchy and sticky. And we put Chinese sausage and the onions and celery, and it's fantastic.
So, Bridget, is there anything that has to be in stuffing for it to count or dressing? And thank you, by the way. I always wondered what the difference between stuffing and dressing was. It's stuffing if it's in the bird, dressing if it's cooked outside. I never knew that. So anything that has to be in it for it to kind of count as dressing or stuffing?
I don't think so. I do. Well, no, I'm going to go back on what I just said. I think it should have some sort of bulk. So the bread or the rice, I've seen bulgur dressings or stuffings. Anything like that is that's going to take up the bulk, because stuffing and dressing, they were originally kind of a similar to what Joanne was saying with them being a bread pudding. It was a use for stale bread or used ingredients, kind of giving them a second life. So I think as long as there's a backbone there, so the rice, the bread, cornbread, which is also gluten-free if it doesn't have any wheat flour, all those are great options.
Let's grab another call here, 800-423-8255. John's in Framingham. John, you want to recommend some other ingredients you like in stuffing, right?
Yes, I'm a graduate of the Henry O. Peabody School for 2 years, cooking and baking, chef school, worked in Boston at Anthony's Pier 4. I wanted to relay a great added thing to stuffing that's quick and easy to put together that my teacher from the Condon School was to add minced Macintosh apple to it to incorporate it, mm-hmm. along with sautéed mushrooms and onions. And then you can add, if you wanted to try something basic, you could use your Arnold stuffing along with the butter that goes into it. One thing I wanted to let everyone know that this is a very unique thing. I'm of Albanian descent. My grandmother taught us what they call drop. Drop consists of two loaves of white stuffing bread, and you use two sticks of butter. You cube the bread, melt the butter into it, and then take it off the stove, just slightly brown it a little bit, and then you incorporate either the yellow or the brown raisins that goes into it, about a half a cup of chopped walnuts. And then also to give it more bountiful flavor, you add 8 tablespoons of turkey juice, and it's a big, big hit, and people really love it, called drop.
Thank you, John, and thank you for teaching us about drop, which I love. I love the name, and I love, love hearing about these recipes from family traditions. So out there, if you've got a family tradition for how you prepare stuffing or dressing or drop, call us, 800-423-8255. So we keep hearing crunchy, sweet, and savory, something like an apple or raisins, something like a nut. Joanne Chang, crunchy, sweet, and savory. How do we find the right blend of those things for a meal like a turkey dinner?
Well, I think you want to think about, the other items on the table. You've got the turkey, which is very, very savory and needs a little bit of, some might say there's a thing in the Globe today talking about whether or not we should even be eating turkey, but I love turkey and I think it's got a lot of great flavor. And so you want something to contrast with that. And you've got the rich gravy and the starchy potatoes and probably some vegetable. And so having a stuffing that does have that crunchy and the sweet and the savory and the fat, the caller before was talking about taking 2 loaves of bread and 2 sticks of butter. I think that's a crucial part of stuffing, is making sure it's got a lot of great, great fat, because that's what carries all the flavor. So I think it's all about just trying to balance out all of the different flavors on your entire table.
And Bridget, is there a way to cook it as stuffing safely? Tom was pointing out, we are advised not to cook that in a bird. So what's sort of the definitive word on that?
Well, it's true. There's a couple things that will happen. Of course, the turkey does flavor the stuffing, which is why so many people still want to stuff the turkey with stuffing. But it does prevent the turkey from cooking evenly. I mean, turkey, the architecture of a turkey is already, you know, a mystery. I don't know how it got put together as it did, but it's hard to get the breast meat to cook at the same rate as the dark meat. And then when you pack the cavity full of stuffing, it can really complicate things. So one thing that we have suggested people do is there are turkey stuffing bags. They're a cheesecloth bag, or you can use cheesecloth. You can put some of the stuffing in there and put it in the turkey. But before you do that, you want to heat the stuffing in the microwave and get it a little closer to a hot temperature before it goes into the bird. That way, it's not going to prevent the bird from being overcooked before the stuffing is a nice, safe temperature.
I had no idea. That's fascinating. I may try that. All right. We've got Yasue on the line in Needham. Go ahead.
Hi there. When I was growing up, my mom, who's Mexican, she used to make a stuffing that had absolutely, I don't think it had any carbs in it now that I think about it, but it had chopped up green olives and veal and chopped ham and chicken broth and slivered almonds. And I just was curious if that, is that maybe a Spanish dressing? I mean, no one, you know, when I was growing up, I was always like, can't we just have stovetop? I didn't really appreciate it until I got older. And it's really delicious. And I was just curious if anyone knew about that kind of a dressing.
So, Joanne Chang, have you ever heard of something like veal, ham, almonds, green olives, chicken broth?
I haven't, but it sounds amazing. I mean, all of those flavors, again, I think would be great with turkey and, you know, and some of the other more traditional items on a Thanksgiving table. I don't know that I would necessarily call that a stuffing or a dressing as much as some sort of condiment, it sounds like, or even like a side dish, but I think it sounds great.
What would you season it with?
I think that has such strong flavors already. I don't know that it would need much more than, you know, maybe a little bit of sage or a little bit of, you know, I would pick like one herb, maybe oregano, and then obviously, you want to make sure you season it well with salt and pepper.
And yes, Wei, do you know what kinds of seasonings your mother used?
We were hunting for her recipe. She passed away 5 years ago this month. So, and my brother was asking me about it. And so I think they're hunting for it in the house. It could be oregano, and but it was really, really savory and delicious.
I hope you find it. I really do. You know, I lost my grandmother years ago, and being able to cook those recipes now make a difference. So we'll be thinking of you. Let's pick up Arlene in Lawrence. Arlene, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. You know, hearing all these spices and stuff, we as Puerto Rican household growing up, we, you know, outdid it with the spices as far as saffron, oregano, and listening to her with the olives. But we accompany our turkey with rice and what we say in Spanish, gandules, which is pigeon peas. And it is to die for.
It sounds fantastic. Let's pick up one more here. Ed, in his car on the North Shore. Ed, briefly, you have a couple of ingredients you'd like to recommend.
Yes, I take a sage and onion commercial breading, add apples, oranges, and onions, the sweet onions chopped into half-inch pieces, also raisins and cranberries. And to get the taste of the turkey, I use turkey broth instead of putting it in the bird.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Ed. So two calls there, and I think we'll go back. Puerto Rican side dishes, different spices, traditions from around the world that can really flavor up what, you know, an American Thanksgiving meal. Bridget, thoughts there?
I love it. It's just such a, even if you have a classic, and I have big quotation marks up when I say classic, recipe with the sage and the thyme and maybe a breakfast sausage, you can really start to switch things up and you can add a different type of sausage, a chorizo, an andouille. You can add in pimentos. You can add in mushrooms, all these different things, dried fruit, olives. I'm trying to write down all these ideas as people are saying them. Olives are probably going to go into my next one. It's just such a huge flavor punch. I love all this. This is just such a great way to add new flavors or incorporate different flavors than are traditionally at your table.
So if you're going to try adding something like olives, Joanne Chang, do you just put them in big or small, something with that powerful of flavor? I'm a huge olives fan. Chop them up, cook them first, just bake them right in a dressing or stuffing. Tell us what you think.
I would definitely chop them up so that you don't get a bite that's one big olive, because like you said, it is very strong. But I agree. I think it would be such a great flavor addition to a stuffing. And you know, you could do what we always do here at the bakery, which is whenever we make a new recipe, we always start off with a tiny, tiny little batch. So make like a tiny little bit with whatever your starch is, whatever your, you know, if you're adding a nut or if you're adding dried fruit or, you know, anything else, and then add a little bit of olive and see how much you want to add, because different olives have different brininess, and different people have different tolerance for olives or a like of olives. So I would taste a little bit before you go big.
Okay. And Bridget, I noticed many people who called had nuts of different kinds for that crunch, but we know there are a lot of people with nut allergies. Is there something one could use instead of a nut that would really deliver that to a stuffing, but be more, less risky, especially if you don't know the allergy needs of everybody coming to your table? Mm.
That's a really good point. I would say something like fried chickpeas would be great, tossed in.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, does that sound like the spiced and fried chickpea? And then that goes back to that kind of pigeon peas and rice idea as well. So mm-hmm. you still have that bulk going in there. But other things, dried peppers, something that's been kind of sautéed, crisp mushrooms going in that have been almost over caramelized. And I've got to say it. I mean, crispy bacon makes everything better.
So, Joanne, I hear you chuckling there. Anything you'd add on that front?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I love the crispy bacon idea. I think that's so smart. I also think you can bake the stuffing or the dressing so that it has a nice crunchy top. You know, you don't necessarily need to have an item ingredient inside the stuffing that adds that crunch. But if you bake it nice and long and it gets that crunchy top, maybe even put a little bit of cheese on top, then that can really add a great texture.
All right. So lightning round, because we're almost out of time. Bridget, the favorite dish on the table besides the dressing?
Oh, my goodness. I would have to say that, well, that's coming at dessert. That's the pecan pie.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'm good with that. That sounds fantastic. And Joanne Chang, how about you?
I'm going to say the same. Not pecan pie necessarily, but a dessert. Pear and cranberry crostata.
No, say that again. Pear and cranberry crostata?
Exactly. It's an open face pie that's filled with ginger roasted pears, fresh cranberries, and almond cream. It's incredible.
Well, clearly we're having the two of you back to do pies soon. That's Joanne Chang, chef and owner of Flower Bakery and co-owner of the restaurant Myers and Chang. Joanne, thanks.
Thank you so much.
And Bridget Lancaster, chef and co-host of the television show America's Test Kitchen. Bridget, thanks so much.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, you too. That is our show for today, folks. Radio Boston's a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Thanks for listening and calling. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.